check with my agent on that? I'm totally joking. Okay. Sweet. Happy New Year. Are you excited for the new year? You know, I heard Indianapolis Colts fans louder than that last night. That's what they did to me last night. Not you, Colts. You got Andrew Lucky. That's what happened with you. My Chiefs did it. Gosh, it's been 20 years. Of course, for my Cubs, too. Man, I just pick losers. There's no doubt about it. Best of luck for the rest of those of you that still have fans. Did you show up your team left? You show up your team left? Yeah? Yeah? It wasn't as loud because there was no Cowboy fans that could raise their hands right there. Oh, yeah. We made it, at least. Happy New Year. Excited to start a brand new series called Upgrade. Upgrade. I have to tell Beyonce, I don't listen to her, but I saw that TV on TV, and Ginger said, when you said the title of that this series, that's all I thought about. Is that song, I don't want to upgrade. I'm like, that's Beyonce, Ginger's favorite performer. So, okay. The next 8 weeks, we want to talk about upgrading our spiritual lives. I mean, it comes right at the right time, does it not? I mean, we're at the beginning of the year. There's so many things that we want to upgrade about our lives. Can I get an amen? Yes. I mean, there's things that we want to do to make it bigger and better for next year and our personal lives and even in our spiritual lives. We're taking an exam. That's what we want to do. And we've got some awesome things planned for you this series. I'm just telling you, please do everything you can. Do everything you can to make it a priority to be here this series. There are some things that we've got planned in this series that I promise you will change your life if you would open your heart to letting God speak to you and the Holy Spirit move in your life. I promise you, this is an awesome planned series. Now, when I think of the idea upgrade, I can't help but think of things in my life that I have processed through time, that I have seen upgrades happen. choose this. I choose. I choose. Listen, folks, if you're up there in age, in your fourth season, you need to come to the 21st century. I choose the revolution. You don't have to listen to the Patriot Takes anymore. You just don't have to. iTunes came along, the upgrade of it revolutionized the music industry, and then what came out with it, the iPod. Oh my gosh, I have a music library now, and the iPod, and then what followed that was the iPod Shuffle. What was that thing anyway? You know, it's like that big, and it was a piece of plastic, and it just played songs in random order. And I don't want random order. I don't want organized order, right? So that didn't last, and then we got to, because the shuffle wasn't small enough, we got the Nano, right? You know what I'm talking about, the Nano? It's like the size of a button. You just push it, and it plays. But that, and then we moved to the iPod Touch. But an iPod, it's no bad. It's no good. First generation iPod, that thing's a monster, right? It's huge. It's ridiculous. iPod 2, iPod 3, iPod 4th generation. Who has to have an iPod 4th generation, right? Oh, man. Upgrades. Upgrades constantly happening all over the center culture. Almost every day. And if you want to do that, everyone must love upgrades. We do. Things in our lives. However, here's the crazy thing, spiritually speaking. Many of us in this room today who are crazed, absolutely insane about upgrading material things in our lives and everything else in our lives, here's what's happening. We're stuck spiritually. Right? I mean, like for the last year, or 3 years, or 5 years, 10 years, 20, maybe it's just flat out neglect, or maybe it's just I don't know how. I don't know how to upgrade spiritually my life here. Many of us are stuck. There's so many people that are sitting in this room today that since you've accepted Christ, you've pretty much determined because I tried on my own. I tried reading this thing. It's like hieroglyphics. I can't figure it out. But you keep doing it your way. You haven't done it according to what the Bible has to say, which is called community. Church. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. You still try to do Jesus even your way. And you're stuck. And then here's what happens. Here's what happens. All of us get to that point. You're like, you know what? This is just good enough.
like, so that's cool. You can actually just stop by the place right outside. So please, would you take that under consideration? The second thing I want to do is small groups, DNA small groups. And here he goes. And he goes, listen, hey, I just want you to know up front. God was on something here with small groups. I don't know if you know this, but small groups is actually a biblical concept. I don't know if you knew that or not. And you're like, oh, yeah, pray to you. Go read Acts chapter 2, you'll see all about it. Acts chapter 2. Here's why. You and I were created for relationship. We were created to exist with one another. What does that mean? If you get saved and you walk out here and try to do it on your own, you're going to fall flat on your face. That's what the church is for. That's what the body of Christ is for. And so many of us are falling short in community life and understanding how to do life together. That's what this is. And I say it's an open enrollment. It's always open. You can sign up anytime you want. All right? But we really highlight in the next 3 or 4 weeks, we've got a group for you. We've got a group for you. And I want to encourage you to pray about that and sign up. Fill out that form. Drop off out there. So make sure that you do that. It's going to be a great time. All right? So I just want to highlight a couple of those things. So for today, I want to talk to you about the area of your life that you absolutely have to consider upgrading. You have to. If you ever, ever want to go further in your walk with Jesus Christ, you have to. I know you're going to love it because I love it. There's no tension at all with it. It contains no controversy whatsoever. Today, we're going to talk about money. Yes! Listen, hey, why are we doing this? Because I got no problem causing tension in your life. I get to speak into you for 45 minutes and go home. I'm just joking. Listen, this is huge. And some of you are like, dude, this is the perfect week for me to come to church and listen to my money because I ain't got none. Right? Christmas just happened. Like, I ain't gonna feel guilt about this today, whatever. Right? Hey, preach away, preacher. I'm listening, right? That's where we're at. Hey, listen. Here's what I want to do. I want you to know. You already know this. We're a church. I'm a pastor. It's not afraid to talk about money. And here's why I'm not afraid to talk about money in church. Because I believe in 20 years of full-time vocational ministry, I believe that money, did you hear me? Money is one of the top three most spiritual topics in all of Scripture. I believe it with all my heart. I'm going to show you a little bit more today about that. And this is why we talk about it. And we're actually going to spend a little bit more time on it in a few months in a series that we'll do basically about generosity called How to Be Rich. It's going to be an awesome series. I'm not going to tell you what it is or else you won't show up, okay? So, listen. But today, with my snapshot, I just want to talk to you about this. And I want to share with you this. So don't leave this, but I want to share with you my story. I don't want to just share my story with you and let you hear that and hopefully the Holy Spirit speaks to you. But before you do that, can we pray? Is that cool? If you don't say yes, that's cool. I'm going to call on you to pray. You got to stay with your people, all right? Is that okay? You want to pray? Absolutely. Praise God. You know, all right, let's pray. Jesus, thanks for all praying today. I know that this topic is huge. And I am asking you that you would please speak to us. It's one of the toughest topics in all of Scripture. It's why it's one of the most spiritual ones. And this is why it's so difficult to talk. But we've got to get to a point where we realize that this is a big deal. It's a big deal. So please open our hearts. Maybe just a couple people. Okay, change your perspective. I gave my life to Jesus Christ November 17th, 1976. I was 5 years old, and the very next Sunday, I started tithing. It's a joke, people work with me today. Come on. Gosh, do you not? My Chiefs lost last night. Please, humor me a little bit. All right, listen, I was a baby, literally and spiritually. I didn't know everything there was to know about Jesus Christ at the time for me. And here's all I know is I heard a flannograph Bible story about heaven and hell and how I could spend one of them in heaven, and that was all it took for me. It just didn't take a whole lot for me. I don't know what it takes. for me, because it's my story, this is a tough concept. And then I can remember, I started practicing. I made it a priority. I started doing that. And then I can remember getting married to this beautiful young lady. 1994. June, you put up with me. It's awesome. Listen, I remember getting married, and you only have two kids that just came from the lap of luxury where our parents paid for everything. Right? And here we are at school. It was my last year of school. It was going 18 plus hours. And Ginger was going 18 plus hours. She's 2 years behind at school. And she was crying in the bathroom. Just weeping, and I said, "What's wrong?" She goes, "I hate my job." "You want to make your life happy?" I'm like, "Quit. I got no problem working 150 hours. I let Ginger quit, and I increased my workload. I was an assistant manager for Jiffy Lube. I could change your life. I could sell you a lot of stuff too." She hated working at MCI, telemarketing. I loved it because I can sell anything. I can. I sell GD. Right? I mean, that's pretty much my job. So I increased my workload. I'm working 60 to 65 hours a week, people. Going into 18 hours of school. Just married. I mean, and trying to get used to her, she's trying to get used to me. Things were crazy. And we went from our homes where moms and daddies bought everything that we wanted, right? And everything taken care of us to where now we had to pay our own bills. And tithe, 10% of what I made. Talk about a tough thing to do. I mean, this was hard. We in order for us to get anything that we wanted, we had to pay for it, but then set aside, you know, still that tithe thing. And here's something that just really stressed me out. It was amazing. In the mail one day, I got an offer from a credit card. And dude, it was incredible. It was like 19.99% APR. It was awesome. It's free money. It's free money, but because I can sell anything to anybody, I go to Ginger and I put a little tithe, and we're going to have to dip into our tithe pretty soon and start using that. So I don't want to do that because we don't want to be supporting God. But, so here's what we need to do. We need to get this in Ginger. We'll only use it in case of it. Nah, see, y'all are right there with it. My story is your story, isn't it? And we only used it for emergencies, man. I'm serious. If I needed to get a quick dinner at Taco Bell, that's an emergency because I can't make it home 20 miles away. Emergency after emergency after emergency. And you know what was awesome? Here's what's awesome. At the end of the month, they didn't want all the money back. They just wanted the minimum. Yes. That was awesome. So we figured out that's how you do it, baby. I like that bank. So we just kept paying the minimum, and then emergency after emergency after emergency. Before you know it, at the end of 1 month, I get this invoice that says we want it all back now. Like, can you imagine the audacity of that? You said it's free money. Now you're going to get something back. Dude, and I'm like, Jimmy, the only way to do this is we just do it. Says God, he's got to use a tithe to do that. But you know what's amazing? He's just unbelievable. God knew our situation. And a couple days later, I got another credit card that asked me this question: would you like to transfer your balances? How'd they know? I mean, how did they know that? It was like God was totally open to that. I'm like, absolutely, I do. Ginger, we're good. We can still give to God. And we transfer those balances, and then we transfer those balances again. Then we transfer those balances again. Credit card after credit card after credit card after credit card. And we kept being generous, at least by what we thought, 10%. But we still went out of debt. See, that's why some of the I've said it before, I'm going to say it out loud just so you understand. I just told you about 55-inch flat screen TV I bought for Christmas. From Ginger and I, or just one another. I have stuff. I've said this before. I have stuff. You have stuff. It's not wrong to have things. I'm not saying that. When it becomes wrong is when those things have you. Now listen, I'm going to add something because you've heard me say that so many times. I'm going to add one more thing to that. It becomes really wrong when you touch what is God's to get the things that you want to have. That's what it is. Stay with me, okay? Here's why it's wrong when things get us and touch what God's to have those things. When those things have us, it then becomes about us. About who, this tension that's created, about who we were actually created to be. Like, generous. And I know I'm talking to you because it's my story too. I'm sitting here talking to a bunch of you and you're out there like, Josh, it has nothing to do about me being greedy. I would beg you, I think that every single person, including myself, are greedy in some way, shape, or form. I believe it with all my materialistic things. I really do. But anyway, you're like, it has nothing to do with me not wanting to be generous. You don't get it. I can't be generous. And I get it. And that's exactly why we offer another area of upgrading in life, financial management. Once a year, but now we're offering twice a year through Financial Peace University. And we're going to offer it again at the end of during our generosity series, right, Matt? For the first one in the spring. And then we're going to offer it again in fall because we believe it's so vital. Money is a spiritual topic, a massive spiritual topic. And some of you are like, if we could teach you, if we could show you some biblical principles on how to financially manage your money. And some of you are like, well, what will that do? Get me out of debt? Maybe. But ultimately, it will teach you how to move God up to number one on the list. And I'm telling you, nothing changed in my life, in my story, in our story, until we moved God completely to the number one position. That's why this is a massive spiritual upgrade. And why it's such a tension with you is because you were created to be generous. And it drives you nuts. And every time that we talk about this in church, it's going to cause, every time we say something about money or generosity, it's going to create this tension. And it's because you're either not, or you won't, or you can't be generous. And there's always going to be tension in your life when you can't completely surrender that out-of-control area of your life to God. I'm going to say something that you need to hear very loud and clear today as the pastor of Church of Celebration before I go any further with this message so you understand this. We are not about getting your money. I'm not. If you heard me at any time, in any way, shape, or form during messages and series during generosity, you would understand that. I am not about getting your money. We're not. You're like, well, how can you say that? Well, 2 months ago, you were talking about how we could give it and give above and beyond to catch up. Listen, this is why. We're about God getting your heart. I don't want you to miss out on this spiritual upgrade that could blow your mind away, that could blow your life away, that could profoundly change the things in your life. That's how spiritual this is. Money has its way in a lot of things. And the greed of it, the love of it, is what? The root of how much evil? All evil. This message, every message at the Church of Celebration, we talk about generosity and money. It's about your heart. It's about your heart. Before we jump into this first passage, I want to share with you two things, two thoughts before we ask you two questions. Okay? You're going to take these away from here. Ready? Remember, Jesus is generous, and people who follow him will be generous as well.
where he gave his own begotten son, so that you might have life, eternal life. Jesus, he gave his life on a cross for you, for Pete's sake. How can you not give more than that? Jesus was a giver. 2 Corinthians 9:14-15 says this: because of the surpassing grace God has given you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Here's what I want every service person to know about God being generous. Ginger and I were not financial prison. We didn't follow Jesus there. We followed the American dream and our own greed and want for more. The world was saying, you need to have this. You've got to have this now. And if you can't afford it, then finance it. That's the prison that we surrendered to and we became a slave to. And look, watch where this leads. Greed always brings about death. And this is where some of us are like, whoa, dude, that is some harsh language. Death. Listen, folks, here's what I know about you, because I know the same is true about me. If you're a greedy person, and some of us are like, don't call me greedy. Guys, we are all greedy. We are all after something. I'm going to explain greed for you in just a minute so you understand. And that's why I'm clipping all of us, including me, okay? We're all greedy. It tells us if we are a greedy person, if you are a greedy person, I promise you something in your life is dead. Something in your life, if it's not dead yet, it's dying. How do I know that? Because here's what happened. Even though I thought I was being submissive and obedient to God in all my areas of my life, I wasn't. And I was dying, and I kept becoming a slave to something that overwhelmed Ginger and I, and greed of the constant want of more things in my life led us to being a slave. It led us to being dead to our finances. And ultimately, it led us to not being able, this is what the death led to, not being able to hear from the voice of God. 100% clear. I'm telling you, some of you shut me off when I said money today. And you don't think something's dying? When I could sit down with you and show you over 25% of the Bible talks about money, and you shut me off. Something's dying in you if you don't want anything to do with this and don't want to hear about it. It's the voice of God. Listen, greed always leads to death. But I want to show you from Scripture how you can speak when it comes to both greed and being generous, okay? Here's two questions. Number one, this is the first one. It looks like I've kind of already alluded to it. This Peter, again, if you're going to take it, here you go. Is God first, no matter what? So you know Jesus is not concerned about being in your top five. He's concerned about being number one. Hey, trust me, Jesus didn't die on the cross so he could be number seven on your list. He's concerned about being number one. Genesis chapter 2, forgive yourself. Here's the story of man. This is classic. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Work it. I love that. This is great. And the Lord God commanded. This is free because I want to throw the free stuff just free of charge. The Lord God never suggests he always commands. Free. He said this.
say that God said, you're free to do anything you want, Adam. Is that what he said? Just don't do this. Adam and Eve greedy. Because what did they do? What God told them not to do. The one thing. They were free in everything. Just don't do this. Why I said earlier that greed always leads to death. Just curious. Has anybody here had a conversation with Adam and Eve this week? If you have, I'd love to sit down and have a coffee with you. I love to. Why? Adam and Eve were greedy, and they died. Greed always leads to death. I'm telling you, folks, God wants us to be financially free. I told you 25%. Over 2,500 verses in the Bible speak specifically about money. And what, according to the Bible, keeps us from being greedy? Generosity. God wants us to be generous. He wants us to be free in whatever state we are in. And he tells us how we can be. How many times have you heard me since being at Church of Salvation? Have you heard me that biblical standard, the minimal required according to the Bible to be obedient in giving to God was 10%? Raise your hand if you've heard me say that. Raise it up high. And then, all right, awesome. Keep it up. You probably heard me. All right. And some of you are like, now don't do the whole law versus grace thing with me. Go back and listen to any one of my messages in the previous year. I talked to you about law versus grace. And the 10%, that's law. We were under law. But listen, if you just want to blow your brains out right here, in the New Testament, the ceiling was not 10%. The floor was 10%. The New Testament givers, which is by the way, you and me, are grace givers. We give out of the abundance of our grace, which means no holds barred. There should be no limit on what we give. How's that going for you? So don't go there, okay? But you've heard me say, just the Bible's minimal standard 10%. Raise your hand. Raise your hand up high. Okay, cool. I'm going to show this, but I need some help today. I need to see if there is a middle school or senior high student out there that would say, I am flat jack. Raise your hand up. Middle school student, I got no money whatsoever. What grade you in? Jimmy! Is that you? Get up here, dude. This is a man child right here. Get up here. Oh, Coach Drew! Jimmy! Get up here, dude. Is this not a man child? He's 7'3" in seventh grade. Get up here. Jimmy, flat broke? You got like no cash for Christmas whatsoever? So you have money, but you want more. Be careful. God wants this. Okay. But you ain't got much. Much. I'm looking for a single adult, 20 plus, out there, anybody that says, I'll be humble enough to say it. I ain't got nothing. Oh, yeah, anybody? Anybody? Right, who's back there? Get up here. Starving artist. Is that who it is? Woo! Come on. Local phenom herself. Huh? Broke, you broke. And because you chose the music industry, girlfriend. Come on over here. Broke. Get over here. And in debt, the slave to it.
No.
She has a plan. To start the title. Woo! All right, now, this is the biggest one. I need somebody out there that isn't. Humility. I'm really, Christmas is strapping. I'm strapping now. I got enough. Very little. Anybody out there? Just a little bit like, yeah, that's me. Right here. Get up here. Now look, she's like, you get up here. You said you're right in front of everybody right now.
spend time on them.
I'm glad to try that.
Would you be willing to do that?
Yeah.
Okay, would you say this, that if I gave this, and you're just like,
I'm
going
to make this one all these people.
And in front of God, and you're like, well, that's $10. And you just kind of slip it out. You say that if you walked out of here and you're like, there's your pocket, don't you think that because of my generosity, you might be stealing from me?
Okay.
But you would do it if you give one back, right? And keep an eye on yourself. Would you look at one last question? Would you think that I'm being generous? Extremely generous? Why? Right, because you have five. Not ten.
There's ten.
Answer it. He's your dad. He's videotaping this thing right now. He didn't have much. Okay, what would you think out of the generosity of my heart? I was willing to give you $50. 5, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. $50. Just to give it to you. I asked you one question. Would you take $5? Just $5. If I gave it to you, I'm not sure I'd give it
to you.
You would? For sure. And if you walked out of here and you didn't do that because you do have some debt, like you just said, you're like, oh, actually, $5 might help make the balance.
I'm just going to pocket it.
Would you think maybe this would be that might kind of be like you're stealing from your money or
something?
So would you say you don't realize before I decide to do this? Am I being generous and giving it to you?
Why?
Do you have anything?
So I'm being pretty generous for you to someone who doesn't have anything.
Darius is like doing a game show, and I know how this is going. Darius, I have a buck for you. 10 dimes. I actually have $100 that I would consider giving to you. So if I did that, you would do that. But would you think that you could do this in your pocket? No, that could really come in handy because that is definitely $2,000 on your dollars, right? Right? Right?
Yes.
But if you did that, would you think that maybe this may be probably like kind of like
maybe Robbie? Something for you?
Am I being generous if I did this to you? Why? And do you have it? Here's the funny thing. Here's the interesting thing right now. Here's the interesting thing is some of you are out there and you're like, that wasn't really that fair. Right, you are?
because I don't have any money. Which that one's shady, so Fred, make sure that you watch that one as he walks out of that 7-2. Listen, they were all on the same financial commitment. They had nothing. But here's how they got it. They got the ownership thing. I was the owner. I had all the money. They had nothing. And I was about ready to give them something and walk. Would you not all say that they walked out of here blessed? Regardless of the amount? Because they all walked out of here with something more than they walked in here with. Ownership. Who says God has to give everybody the same amount? The point is that he gave them something that what you didn't begin with. And some are like, no, 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 Pastor Josh, I work hard for my money. I get up and I work the 45 hours a week. Do me a favor. Do this. Who gave you that? You and I own nothing. And everything that you think you own, it's just on loan. Position you are in, that you recognize you have been blessed and you give back to him first. And then guess what? Keep the rest yourself. It's all free. The rest is yours. But when you really get the financial principle of ownership, you realize the rest of it really isn't mine, and I'm still supposed to manage it and steward it well. And everything else falls into line. And until Ginger and I got that principle, we were a slave to debt for years. For years. Until we realized, it's all yours. You can take it from us anytime you want to. Listen to this. Luke chapter 12, 13 through 15. Someone that brought said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus replied, Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Then he said to them, Listen, pay attention to this. This is what the great thing. Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. What that means? In other words, that means this. It don't matter what you have or what you don't have. That's what that means. And when you keep thriving and going after it in life, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that, I want more, I want much more. Listen, this is what happens. This is you chasing after greed. And God's not number one. He's like number eight. Real quick, how many of you bought at least $1, $2 cup of coffee this week somewhere? Raise your hand up high, keep it up. How many of you bought at least a $2 high energy drink somewhere along the way this week? Keep it all up, everybody, keep your hands up. $2. This is, okay, cool. Can you look around? This is what's amazing. Did you know that over half of this world lives on less than $2 a week? And why do I bring that out? Because so many of us are like, I ain't got no money. You don't understand what position I'm in. Are you kidding me? Do you realize how stinking filthy rich you are? We all are. Look, well, I got $30,000 worth of debt. You still have a roof over your head. You still have food on your table. You still go out and buy a coffee 7 times a week. The debt doesn't stop you. Guys, do you get that? Listen, we talk all about this in our How to Be Rich series. Oh my gosh, this is so huge. Do you realize? I'm worn out with people saying that I'm not rich and I can't afford to give to God. But we just spent on coffee probably 7 times that week, more than what half the world lives on for an entire week. This is why the widow's mite story in the Bible is so deep. She gave what? Out of the abundance of her heart. She gave more than anybody. That passage that I just read from Luke chapter 12 concludes after Jesus tells a quick story about the rich fool who's obsessed. obsessed with stuff, greed, guess what happens to him? He eventually loses his life. It costs him his life because of his obsession for more stuff. And Jesus says this, this is how it will be. This is how it's going down. This is how it will happen for whoever stores up things for themselves. But what is not rich towards God? How can you not say that money is a spiritual topic? Talk about greed, folks. It costs so many of us so much stuff. And according to this passage, it could even cost us our life. That must be first. What's your heart? One Friday, he knows he has it. Second question is, what is important to God?
Important to him.
Listen, folks. Let me say it again. This message is not about this church getting money. It's not. Please believe this message and every message on generosity and money is about God getting your heart. This is why it's at the top of the list of the spiritual upgrades, man. This is why you've got to get this thing. This is why it's right there. And I have to say that again. This message is not about us getting your money. I have to say that because it's about ready to get tense in here. I promise. I love creating tension. As if money in itself doesn't create enough. This is how we know the church. This church is just fine and is going to be just fine. Matthew chapter 16, 18 says this. Jesus talking, and on this rock I will build my church, and even the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's how we know the church is just fine. Because why? It's his church. He's going to take care of it. With or without you. And he's been doing it for a long time, and he'll keep doing it with or without you. Let me show you what I mean. Did you know that last year, this church, through our generosity together, combined, brought in, I think it was the largest amount that we've ever given in an annual year, $565,000 to give to the church. $565,000 was given to the Church of Celebration. And just look, I've shared this with you, look at all that we've been able to accomplish in our community and beyond. We have over 700 people that come here every week and worship at the Church of Celebration. Coffee's hot, music's rocking, lights are on. We're paying our bills. We pay all, we have no outstanding bills. We have no debt. Root and tune roundup, we were able to pay for that with cash. 300 kids every night for 4 nights got to come and hear about Jesus Christ. Then we did this thing called Maricopa Trick or Treat. I don't know, like 10 or 12,000 people came out, and we bought over 1 million pieces of candy to give to them and then be Jesus for them for like 3 hours. Oh my goodness, Power Pack Copa. Oh my goodness. Wow. Power Pack Copa is exploding. And we're giving to it every single month. We're feeding over 75 plus kids every single month that are going home on Friday and not eating again until Monday morning. We're feeding them. We're feeding them. We've contributed. This is what some of you know. We've contributed financially to the start of 3 brand new church plants in the Arizona area through our missions, through our church planting organization called Vision Arizona, which I sit at the lead team and I'm part of that lead team. We've helped plant financially 3 churches in Arizona. We give to world missions. We took 3 missions trips this past year. And get this, is blow your mind. We saw over 200 people get saved last year at the Church of Celebration. That's more than has ever happened in one single year. Look at all that God did with our financial giving, because all of those things cost money. But did you know that we did all of that with only 9% of CO2?
big. This is huge. Listen, the church, this church is so important to God that he died for it, he built it, and he blessed it. And one of the primary means of communicating the message of Jesus Christ and his grace to a lost and dying world is the local church. It's the local church. And one of the ways that God intended for the church to fulfill its mission to a lost and dying world was for the people in it to support it and be generous to it. And someone's like, well, I give to a missions agency, or I give to this parachurch ministry. And I'm not saying they're wrong, I'm not. But those are above and beyond. The Bible is extremely clear that we give to the storehouse, which is the Bible, which is the church, first and foremost. I give to above and beyond. And I'm proud to say that I do, because God has blessed me enough to be obedient here and then be able to give above and beyond. So all those other missions and organizations and agencies are great, and they're an opportunity to do so. I'm not saying they're not, but he says the church can be just a magic. Folks, you want to see the world change? I'm serious. You want to see the world change? I believe God was on to something here. It changes when people get right with their finances, with generosity towards the church. It does. Can you just imagine what would happen? We're not even 700 people that come here on a regular basis, 1,000 probably that say I go to CSU. Can you imagine if every evangelical church in the state of Arizona called up their congressmen or their senators and said, tell the governor we no longer need financial aid in these areas because we've got churches in our state that are taking care of this for us. Saved. The teenage pregnancy rate because youth groups are blown away with people financially contributing and offering a place and giving up their time and their talents and overwhelmingly going above and beyond with their generosity. Worldwide hunger solved. How can you say that? We got 91% of our churches not tithing 10%. Put all the entire evangelical world together, and if they tithe 10%, can you imagine what that would do to cancer research? To worldwide AIDS research? I'm telling you, folks, this is a hard truth. Satan isn't holding back the church. We know he's not, because he can't. Our opening passage says the gates of hell cannot stand against it. Hold back the church. This message is not meant to make anybody feel bad. It's not. If it was about money, we would take it off right after this message. Massive spiritual things.